Mint.
As they appear.
But first we'll review
where we stand. So we're just doing them as they appear, starting through Matthew, walking through, and then I've started to try to group them. If you have any suggestions on different groupings, please sing out. So we've done the two greatest commandments, of course, love your neighbors yourself, and love God above all else. Then we've looked at 8 of the 10 commandments. This morning we'll look at the 9th. Of course, one of the commandments we won't see, which is the Sabbath. And then I call this next section Christian character, just how we should behave as a Christian. Follow Jesus, shine for Jesus, pray and fast, give and don't covet, trust the Lord, be content, put God's kingdom and His righteousness first, enter at the straight gate, which is be saved, beware of false prophets, don't fear man, fear God, learn of Jesus, don't be idle, watch, be faithful, be baptized, worship God in spirit and in truth, die to self, abide in Christ. His word to abide in us, and we're to bear fruit. So that's what we've covered so far, just up to number 47. Then how to treat one another, forgive and reconcile, judge not, don't hinder children from being saved, serve others, have peace one with another, and love one another as Jesus loved us. We've looked at some virtues, be perfect, meek, lowly, honest, and compassionate, and sins to avoid. Evil for evil, watch the tongue, evil thoughts, blaspheming, deceitfulness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, and defrauding. We've only gone up to there so far. And then family, no divorce except for fornication. And we'll be looking at children to obey our parents. For pastors, feed the sheep, and toward our government, so far, pay our taxes. I'm still estimating about 150. Beth, you estimated 200? 100. We'll see where we end up, but it's going to be a blessing just to know what they all are. Amen? And so we'll carry on this morning where we left off at Acts. We finished the book of John last week when we looked at John 21, and Jesus commanded pastors to feed the sheep. So what is he supposed to feed them? The word. Amen. That's all he has, isn't it? Is the word of God. Because that's where the power is. So in Acts chapter 15, we talked about this last week just briefly. Remember, the disciples came together, had a Bible conference to talk about this problem that was happening where the Judaizers were coming in and telling these Gentile churches they had to keep the law to go to heaven. And so they came together here in Acts 15, verse 20, and this is what they concluded. So did we look at this one all the way through last week, or did I just introduce it? Okay, good. Brother Scott, would you read that, Acts 15, verse 20?
But that we write unto them that they abstain from holy pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood.
Amen. So this is what they concluded for the Gentile Christians, that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Now, three of those things have to do with the worshiping of false gods and idolatry. The fornication, of course, we've already covered. So our 49th one is that we're to avoid anything related to idolatry. And as we'll see, it's all through the New Testament. So we'll go from here to Acts 21 and verse 25, and we'll pray and get started. Brother Dan, would you do me a favor and turn on that second switch from the left, this center set of lights? Thank you. So Acts 21:25, we'll read this. Let's pray first. Lord, give us your wisdom and use the Holy Spirit to apply the Word of God to our hearts and to teach us and grow us as we learn your commandments and begin to apply them to our own lives and our own hearts, that we might serve you and be faithful to you, Lord, and honor you with our obedience. And so we commit the service to you. Guide us in your truth. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So Acts 21:25, we're still talking about idolatry. Christians are not to have anything to do with idolatry. So Howard, if you would read that. Philip, 1 Corinthians 6:9, and Mark Zeus, 1 Corinthians 10:7. So, Brother Howard, if you would read Acts 21:25.
Touching the Gentiles' belief, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication.
So, exact same list. This is Paul recounting what they had come up with. But do you know what he's talking about there when he says that they observe no such thing? What's he talking about? Is he talking about, he's talking about the law, the Old Testament law. And the Jews still, many of the Jews still believe that, like the modern day Seventh-day Adventists, yeah, you get saved by trusting Christ, but you still got to keep the law. And they're saying, no, the Gentiles, this isn't what we're going to impose upon them. It's not of God that they keep the Old Testament law. Do we keep the New Testament law? Absolutely. That's what we're studying, is the commandments of our Lord here in the New Testament. And as we'll see, there's plenty of those to keep, at least 100. So stay away from anything relating to the worshiping of false gods, which is the blood, which is the strangled, which is the things offered to idols. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:9, Philip. So notice it says idolaters, listing here again the wickedness of man. One of the things that we're told that is to be avoided as God's children is an idolater, to not be an idolater. And then Brother Mark, 1 Corinthians 10:7.
Neither be ye adulterers, as is some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up.
So here in 1 Corinthians 10, he's referring back to what happened when Moses was on the mount. And what did the people, what's the first thing the people did was say, we need something to worship. And they threw all their gold in a pot and made a golden calf. That's what it means. It says they rose up to play. And they did. They had a big drunken party. Can you imagine? Moses is up on the mountain getting the commandments from God. They've just been rescued from Egypt. And they're having a drunken party around a golden calf. And then it says on down to verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from what? Idolatry. So idolatry is to be avoided. Anything related to idolatry is to be avoided by Christians, of course. Okay, Robin, Galatians 5:19-20. And Maggie, Ephesians 5:5. And Beth, 1 John 5:21. So Robin, Galatians 5:19-20. So we've got quite a list we'll end up covering, of course, but did you notice it said idolatry? All right, and then Ephesians 5:5.
For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
An idolater. And then 1 John 5:21, Beth.
Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
That's the last verse of 1 John. Five chapters in 1 John, written to Christians, great book, great epistle. But the last thing he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. So I've tied this in with the second of the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament, where God says, and let's look at it, Exodus chapter 20, where God tells us to avoid any graven image. So notice verse 4 and 5 of Exodus 20. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. This commandment, of all of them, carries the most text, if you will, of all the Ten Commandments here in Exodus 20. Three verses related to what? No graven image. No idolatry. So, we as Christians need to be careful of this, don't we? So do we raise the question about the cross? Because it's people have asked the question before. What about the image of a cross? Is that not a graven image?
From my personal understanding, idols and that, does that take away from the glory of God? Or they're looking at something else as another deity, in a sense there?
Yep.
I don't think Christians, they see the cross, what it represents, but maybe there's a distinction.
Yep, I tend to agree that the cross is... What is the cross saying to us? It's representative of Jesus Christ dying for our sins, right? Dying in our place. What about an image of Jesus hanging on the cross?
What about Nicholas's neck sort of
thing on the cross? Yep, that's question's been raised as well. What about a necklace with Jesus hanging on the cross? Where do we draw the line as Christians about a graven image? Come on, I'm just asking a question. Maggie.
Would it be, isn't it more about worshipping graven images? Like it says not to make them, but like for the example of the cross, we don't actually worship as such the image of the cross. It's just there's a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross.
Right.
And it's just we're worshipping Christ for and God for what he did.
Right. And it says no bow down, correct? Well, that's a good point. He's not there anymore, is he? He's risen from the dead. But we would never want to bow down to anything other than our Lord. Amen?
What about pictures, too? You see just even like, say, on Facebook, you see a lot of images of Christ as possibly what he was, but we don't know.
We don't know, and we have to be... We have to be careful, because, of course, images wasn't an issue in Old Testament days, like it is for us today. But I'm just throwing it out there that we need to be on guard about idolatry and anything even related to idolatry, anything related to anything graven or an image. We need to just be careful, because we've been warned, haven't we? And that is one of the commandments that we're told to follow. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So we as God's children need to decide where is that line and make sure we don't cross it. Amen? And
specifically talking to false gods.
Yep.
As in the Egyptians and the children of Israel were worshipping that, been inundated with other gods. I suppose in today's society, these other things that take you away from God. So whether it be sport.
Yep. The sport can be an idol. Or pursuing money. You know, Ezekiel talks about they had idols in their hearts. So can money be an idol for a Christian? Absolutely. Can sports or the desire for power be an idol? Absolutely. Rachel?
Your computer and your
phone can be an idol too. It sure can. Yeah, this whole generation's going to have messed up necks, aren't they? Walking down the footpath with their head on facing down. I'm sorry.
I said the computer's good when they're on COVID-19 when you can walk to church.
It's a powerful tool, there's no question, but anything can be an idol for a Christian if we're not careful. If it takes away from putting God first, it can be an idol in our heart. So it's very important that we think about that. Michael? No, I didn't say they removed the verse. I said in their catechism, when they defined the Ten Commandments, it's not listed as one of the Ten Commandments. I have a copy of their catechism in my office. So what they did is they skipped over that whole section. Yeah, they basically, what we call the second commandment, they just don't list it. They list the first commandment, of course, which is only worship God and have no other gods. But then they skip right over that whole section as a commandment and dive right into the don't take God's name in vain. They call that number two. But then when they get to the end where it says don't covet, verse 17, they turn that into 9 and 10. So that there's still 10. Does that make sense? And it's obvious to all of us why they did that, isn't it? You only have to walk into one of their churches and look around and realize why they wouldn't want that to be in their catechism. Yes. And it is, there's no question that's idolatry for her. Yep. So that's number 49. No idolatry. Amen. So that takes us straight into the book of Romans, chapter 1. So we finished Acts and we're in Romans now. And we'll be in Romans for a while. But here in Romans, chapter 1, we dive right into no homosexuality. So verses 26 and 27, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So I've heard that crowd try to say that it's only an Old Testament prohibition, but that's a lie, as we're going to see. Homosexuality is a sin to avoid, as any other sin, and it is in the New Testament. So Romans 1, while you're in Romans 1, look on down in verse 30. It says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. So there it is again, natural affection. What does God mean by natural affection? It means how we were designed. Amen? Men and women are to have affection for one another. So our 50th is no homosexuality. There's more verses. So Brother Scott, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Brother Howard, 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. And Philip, Jude, verse 7. So homosexuality is a sin. Brother Scott, 1 Corinthians 6, 9.
Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornication, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor Ephraimites, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
So, do you see that word effeminate? What do you think that's talking about? You know, it used to just be homosexuals. Now we've got the whole acronym. We can't even, it just keeps getting longer, doesn't it? I can't even quote it, but yeah. But what do you think effeminate's referring to? It's okay, speak up. He's saying it's a sin for men to act effeminate. Amen? That's what it's talking about. Do we get that today in society? Absolutely. And then it says, abusers of themselves with mankind. So God's very clear. Amen? 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10, Howard.
Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers and fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine.
So all these things are contrary to sound doctrine and will be addressing them all eventually, but specifically here, defile themselves with mankind. There it is again. He's not beating around the bush. Homosexuality is a sin. And then Jude 7, Brother Philip.
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
So it's so important to the Lord, this particular sin, that He even gave us a very clear illustration of His anger by destroying a city. There are cities of over 1 million people. And He tells us why. Fornication and going after strange flesh. And we only have to read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot to know what the problem was there. That when the men of the city saw the angels come, and in the Old Testament, angels always appeared as just normal men. They didn't have halos. They didn't wear special glowing white robes. They just looked like men. And when the men of the city saw those angels come and come into Lot's house, they surrounded the house and said, "We want those men. We want to know them in the biblical sense." And that's when Lot, being such a wonderful father that he was, offered his daughters as a substitute. Can you imagine? What? Of course it was wrong. It was as wrong as you could be. And the angels stopped it by smiting the men with blindness, stopped Lot from committing such a horrible, horrible thing with his daughters. But yes, that was absolutely wrong. But the city was so gone that this is what happened. And God destroyed them. And here we see in Jude, set forth an example. God's telling us, that was an example. I'm teaching you something. What is He teaching us? He's teaching us that those cities were given to fornication and strange flesh. And He punished them with the vengeance of eternal fire. And isn't it fascinating that even for centuries, the world referred to it as sodomy? Wonder where they get that word. From the Bible, from Sodom and Gomorrah. Fascinating. So there's no question that it is a sin and that God hates it as much as any sin. And of course, God's children are to avoid it 100%. Homosexuality. Any questions about that? Tanya. Right.
Now they're moving towards pedophilia.
Next will be pedophilia.
I think why God restricts us so much, because it always goes further and further and hurts more and more people instead of helping.
And that crowd wants everyone to believe that people are born this way, right? That is the big lie that they keep pushing. We can't help it. We were born this way. Well, if they're right, then the Bible's wrong. We as Christians have to decide where we stand. Amen? The Bible is right. God wrote it. He's our Creator. And He says, you're not born that way. He says that you choose to go that way. Yes, Brother Mark?
Yeah, I mean, even conservatives that speak out, the media and so forth, call it hate speech. Everybody speaks out against homosexuality or cries or say, that's hate speech. And then many Western countries now are prosecuting.
I might have just had some hate speech.
That's the way you can see with this COVID thing, how government, the power and so forth, it's coming quicker than we think.
Yep.
Certain groups have a great influence in the government.
So just remember, when it comes to homosexuality, it's not a... God doesn't grade sin. We have to be careful about that. You know, a lot of Christians, they're okay with not forgiving one another, but they hate homosexuals. And God hates them both, those sins. But God loves the homosexuals, and never forget that. So we're always to hate the sin, but love the sinner. But there seems to be a lot of, I don't know what the word is, homophilia, this overemphasis by Christians on this particular sin that we just hate them. There was that one preacher in Auckland that said, I just wish they'd all, we should just kill them all.
But what I'm saying is governments and these groups are becoming even more influential.
Of course they are.
And exactly, get into the schools, over the transgender toilets and so forth. So it's not just Christians, it's the whole society is changing that way. And therefore, then Christians need to speak up and say something. It's not that they're speaking up against that particular group, it's that the group is becoming more vocal and more, I suppose, vigilant than anything now.
Yes, sir. And remember, that's not going to change. It's just going to get worse. So we as God's children, we just need to know it is a sin. God hates it like any other sin, but he loves the sinner. Never forget that. He wants them saved just like anyone else. And that we have no license in Scripture to go around hating people because of their behavior. If they're acting like the devil, why should we be surprised? He's their father, right? So we need to tell them about Jesus, that Jesus can rescue them from all of their sin and give them eternal life. So it's not one that we need to say, well, we hate those people. No, we don't. We hate their behavior. We hate the sin, but we love the soul. Those people need Christ like everyone else. And we have to be careful about where we stand in that regard. Regarding their souls. Amen. No question it's a sin. It's a New Testament sin. And that crowd is wrong. They're putting forth a bunch of lies, saying it's only Old Testament, saying they were born that way. We know what the Bible says, and that's what matters for us. Amen. That's our final authority. Any other questions about this one?